And now, live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sons of bitches, where did it move to? Rochester?
Rochester, New York.
How would you move anything to Rochester, New York? They got enough stuff. They're in New York. They got enough things to go see there. We need everything we can get in Salem. Not like in Salem, you got the Armory, and there's
that indoor mall with the Cinnabon.
Yeah, there's that, and then there's like 900 Stars cabarets there. That's about it. That's all that Salem's got. There's nothing else. Well, I mean, there's the Capitol. But that, other than that,
the governor's living in a trailer now anyway.
There's the Capitol and the strip clubs and the mall and this paddle game. And that's all. There's not one other single solitary thing. Anyway, well, I'm not going to dwell. I had this whole thing to say about Operation Iron Hammer, but now it's just been swept away by my... And I never got to see it either. The whatever it is, the Toy Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. And the Advertising Hall of Fame closed down, too.
Yeah, they take everything good. You know, but they leave that stupid...
Elvis Museum?
Well, there's that thing on the downtown, that thing by the Portlandia, that Sports Hall of Fame that no one ever goes to because it looks like a strip mall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Looks like one of those bad baseball card shops. Anyway. Hey, it's 3 minutes and 32 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of November.
Oh, we still have the vacuum cleaner museum.
Wait, are you talking about Nike Town?
No, that's not a sports museum so much as it is a shoe store. Nike Town, let's talk about something that's false advertising. Let me just tell you, first time I went to Nike Town, I was sorely disappointed. I expected it to be like a full-on... I got love for Nike. I know that it's very popular among some of the kids to hate Phil Knight and his ilk. But I got this whole... You know, it's not my fault. I grew up in the 80s, so I have this... as much as I want to hate all corporations everywhere, there's this whole Alex P. Keaton part of me that just can't do it. Part of me that reflexively loves, you know, guys who are just filthy, rich, and evil. It's like, I don't want to do it. It's the same thing that keeps me loving, you know, like Microsoft. Everybody else on the planet... there will come the day when it's the rest of the planet versus Microsoft. See, here's what's going to happen. Someday... these antitrust measures, they're going to go a little bit too far, and the entire Microsoft campus in Redmond, there's going to be like a strong earthquake. No one's really know what it is. The deer will spot it first. They always do. But the animals will look around. They'll hear a low rumbling. They'll run for the hills. And suddenly up in Redmond, you'll hear a mighty shift in the tectonic plates, and you're going to hear sort of a... sound. And the entire Microsoft campus is going to rise up and tear itself out of the ground like the space cruiser Yamato. And it's just going to launch itself into space like that first Boston album cover. Microsoft is just going to detach from Earth someday. And it's going to rise up above the Earth and become its own sovereign entity. And then it'll just end in a full-out war between the rest of the world and Microsoft. And at that point, you'll be forced to choose whose side you're going to be on. You'll either have to fight for the Federated States of you know, Bill Gates and Windows, or you'll have to fight for the world. That was a really weird thing I was just talking about there. Anyway, the point is... Wait. No. No, it's gone.
We're waiting.
No, it's gone. It's just, you know, it's like one of those trains. You can just see it going around the tracks, and now it's gone. Like a train in the distance, and you can just barely see the caboose vanishing around a corner. That was my thought right there. Now it's gone. Well, it'll be back someday. It'll be back someday when we're already in a discussion that's going on about something else that's entirely different. This point I was just trying to make now will come back and interrupt whatever my point then is. Just know that it's going to happen. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley coming up today. There's, I would say, a 1 in 3 chance we're going to be talking to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. It's hard to know with any degree of certainty, though, because CNN appears to be, I don't know, it appears to be like some sort of an underfunded laundromat there, where sometimes there's a guy there at work, sometimes there isn't, because we can't just call Jim Roop directly. You know, we're supposed to go through a guest booker there at CNN. They got 1.5 guest bookers for like 9,000 radio stations, 12 correspondents, 3 time zones, and one of them is always on vacation. So we've done our best to get a hold of Jim Root today. It's kind of anybody's guess as to whether or not we're actually going to get to talk to him. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian is going to be with us later on today. Tupac, The Resurrection comes out today. The movie premieres today. So in honor of that, today we got the top 5 Tupac Shakur songs of all time. Top 5 Tupac songs of all time coming up later on today. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-1080. 5955. Here he is, the man, the legend, Tim Riley in the KOT newsroom at Top Talk 1080 KOT Kevin.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be noon. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, I got the traffic in Serendillin. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's a radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just news, it's news with Tim Riley. Logan.
Was it a cougar or a bobcat? Several parents reported what they saw. They thought they were frightened.
It was really scary when it...
Yes. And he came out and said, that's not a bobcat, that's a cougar. And it did...
Isn't
yeah,
a bob...
bobcat's like the
a
size
wild
of
house
a,
cat.
You know, a small dog, like a little bulldog.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just they can get a little bigger than that, but they're not that
But it's like a wild house
cougars
cat,
are like,
a cougar's
like big.
A cougar's a big-ass thing that'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah, cougars will eat you. Mountain lions are also called.
Okay, yeah, that was going to ask if a cougar was the same thing as a mountain
same
lion.
Same thing as a mountain lion.
You get those in Utah every so often. Every so often in Salt Lake City. I had a friend of mine who lived in a place called Clearfield, which is kind of way on the sticks. And younger brother, blah, 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 going up to the hills, came down wide as a sheet one day because there had been a mountain lion up there. So those
you
things,
know, I've got about the
those.
Freakiest cougar story you're ever going to hear. A friend of mine, his mother used to work for the Department of like Forestry and stuff.
Yeah.
Driving along a logging road one night in a Jeep, goes through this big puddle, her Jeep shuts down, battery terminal and everything got wet, pops the hood, gets out, opens it up to dry it off and everything, and got this really weird feeling. Couldn't figure out what it was. Finally got it all dried off and everything under the hood. A couple minutes later, the Jeep fired back up, no problem, hits the lights. About 20 feet, 30 feet in front of her, there's a cougar just sitting there in the middle of the road that had been sitting there watching.
Sitting there watching her the whole time going, kill her? Don't kill her. Kill
yeah,
her?
I mean, it could have come and got her at any time, but
any
it just
time.
Sat there and watched her
see,
in the
that's
dark.
The thing about animals, man. This is, you know, the next time you hear some nitwit yammering on about how the earth and nature needs to be protected from humans, just, you know, remember, anytime nature wants to kill you, it'll just do it. Anytime the earth feels like you're becoming some sort of a threat or some sort of a menace, it'll just send something like a cougar. You know, or rattles. We got the rattlesnake
that's
story coming
up
later. We got a whole bunch of when animals attack stories coming up today. So, yeah, the earth has no trouble killing your ass off whatsoever. That's the worst part about it. It's like I saw this, I'm a big fan of those, well, you know, it's like when blanks blank. And it's and there was this one, it was when animals attack first went on the air. Back in like 95 or so. It had only been on the air a few times. And I remember we're watching that. And there's some guy wandering through the Serengeti Plains with a handy cam doing whatever, you know, just like hiking through for no reason. And but there's just this huge creature, there's this huge leopard that appears out of nowhere. And the leopard just sort of looks at him. And you can see the guy stop, like, because everything is through his viewfinder. And you can see the guy just sort of stop and stand in the same place for a minute, kind of like thinking, what am I going to do now? And the leopard just sort of looks at him. And takes like one step towards him and opens its mouth and just sort of roars at him or whatever. And then sort of wanders away. But the unmistakable message is like, I could kill you right now, but I'm late for lunch. So we're going to do it another time. You know, and it's that there's no other way to interpret that other than that animal's just telling you that, you know, I could come over there and just take off your head. But, you know, to pass this one time. So here's Tim Riley.
Well, some of these little ragamuffins were delighted by the cougar sighting.
It was pouncing and running and catching the field mice, and we backed up. It was coming towards the school.
I think he was pretty big and huge, and he wasn't that scary because he was a little far away, but he's cool.
Yeah.
Now, if you happen to encounter a cougar, you have a good chance of outrunning it and hiding the tree until it goes away.
I'm pretty sure that's not true. I'm pretty sure that's you're making that up and that's inaccurate. You also, the best way to get away is to cover yourself in blood and raw meat and throw yourself at it because that'll
and chocolate-covered Pop-Tarts will get you off the hook.
That'll distract
the animal. But make sure you open them.
Yeah, it's like that. The weird thing is that here's another thing that guys know, by the way. We always talk about a lot of things that guys have knowledge about, like guys know about piranha and petrified wood. All guys know how to get away from a crocodile / alligator. You know how to outrun of those. The way, and every guy knows this, that if you're being chased down the road by an alligator, the deal is that you run in a zigzag motion because they can't change direction very quickly. Because the way they're built, they're so low to the ground. And they got weird. So if you're ever being chased down the road by an alligator, the deal is you just run in a zigzag pattern and you are certain to escape alligator death.
It's kind of like if you're ever being chased by a bear, you run downhill.
Now, I thought it was that you played dead.
Well, you can play dead as well if you want to be pawed out a little bit until the bear loses interest. If you run downhill, bears' front legs are shorter than their back legs. They can't run downhill or they'll tumble. They'll go, like, you know,
that'd be
literally
pretty
ass over
be, I'm tempted
roll
to do that just to watch the bear fall.
Is that well, what you know, in, run downhill till you find a big tree and climb it.
That wouldn't happen in, like, a flat place like Kansas, then.
No. So you only want to run from bears in the mountains. But then in the mountains, you got those Vietnamese mushroom growers, and those guys will shoot you in the face. So you better... You know what I'm talking about.
What mountains are these?
The place where they, isn't that out in the Tillamook Burn? Aren't those guys out there that are growing whatnot and they're doing things and they'll shoot you? Am I, or is that a thing that I'm just making up?
Did someone put something in your coffee today?
It's entirely possible.
I think Honest Don was telling you stories when y'all were out there shooting guns.
No, because I know that there's, you know, you every so often you hear about some guy that stumbles onto a, you know, like a marijuana field that he didn't know was there. And he's thinking, the free marijuana for me. And the next thing you know, there's some guy there with a shotgun taking his legs off because, you know, you're interfering with his operation there. Let's just forget, you know, forget that whole thing about Vietnamese people shooting you in the face. That's probably, let's forget that.
I think you saw that in some movies.
It is. It's not a thing that's true. Dean is in Portland, however. Dean, you're on Hot Talk tonight at K2K. What's up?
How's it going, Rick?
What do you got, man?
Remember the other week we were talking about people holding street signs, you know, for change?
Yeah.
39th and Hawthorne, there's a guy out there with a sign that says, it's my birthday, any spare change so I can get drunk.
Right on 39th and Hawthorne, it's right there by the Smoking Glass and
right there,
Fred Meyer.
No, there's three of them standing outside, they're having a party.
And it says, it's my birthday, give me money so I can go get drunk?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Have you given him money?
I was in the other lane.
That's too bad. All right, anybody who's going by, give that guy a dollar. I'd do it if I was there myself. Excellent, thanks for tipping me off.
Absolutely, have a good one, Rick.
All right, there you go, there's Dean in Portland. You got to respect that sort of honesty. There, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Bill Williamson, after being bitten not once but twice by a venomous rattlesnake while retrieving his ball at a Georgia golf course.
Didn't see the snake that was guarding that errant ball, so I reached down to get it, and unfortunately the snake allowed me to get the ball, but didn't want me to keep it, so he struck me on the side of my face right on my temple.
Bitten on the face by a rattlesnake.
Twice!
Twice? How would you be bitten twice? Like, wouldn't it, the first time, wouldn't you be like, I'm going to let that one go? You go down to get a golf ball, you get bitten on the face by a rattlesnake. That's a ball, you
wanted to keep that golf ball.
How much could a new one cost? All right, well, whatever. Rattlesnakes are weird. How, did you say how big it was?
7 feet long.
7 feet long. Yeah, so you don't want any part of that. You don't want to mess with that. I only have, like, one rattlesnake story in my entire life. And it's when I was about, I don't know, I was about 12 or 13. The one thing that Southeast Washington has a lot of is sort of what Huck Finn would refer to as a fishing hole. And there's all kinds of little ponds and inlets, and because there's a Columbia River that has all these little streams and tributaries and whatnot. And so there's a lot of places you can go out among the weeds and sort of get you know, fish for bluegill and whatnot. And so when I was a kid, I would sort of go and do this sometimes, you know, with my dad and sometimes with whoever. You got any fish? But I was walking through this path that had been beaten down through the, you know, kind of wilderness area one time. And it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, because that's a sound. It's like, you know what it is? It's like loading a 12-gauge. You know that sound as soon as, there's no mistaking what that sound is. It's like you always hear the guy rack up the shotgun, and you know exactly what that sound is. There's no mistaking that for anything else. Same thing with a rattlesnake. But I didn't hear the sound at first. I'm walking along the path, and I'm like crunching along like a 13-year-old, and this thing like goes zoom and slithers right across the path in front of me. It's kind of like a deer running across the road in front of your car. But it was this long sort of weird, you know, slender thing just went right across the path right in front of my feet. And I thought, well, you know, and there's snakes all over Washington. But I didn't know what it was. And there's that whole thing of you go, what was that? And then you hear that kind of weird rattling sound. And I got to tell you, man, you ever want to be freaked out, just hear. Because it's one thing you hear that in movies and whatnot. You hear the rattling sound. I mean, everybody kind of knows it because they've seen it in some nature film. They've seen Marlon Perkins running into it. But to hear the actual rattling sound about 3 feet away from you, I mean, that's about as unnerving as it gets. Your life doesn't get a whole lot more nerve-wracking than that. I imagine it's kind of like what would happen if you actually saw the shark fin sticking out of the ocean while you were there. I think it's pretty much the same feeling.
What does that sound like? Like rocks in a tea kettle or something?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds. You know what it is? It sounds like a maraca. I mean, that's, you know, it's sort of. It's like a drier sound. It's like a really dry sounding set of maracas. And it's, you know, because it's smaller. But I mean, there's no mistake in that front. Like, you're not going to think that that's a cricket. There's no way to think that that's anything but that. In Wilsonville, it's a full time listener. It's our man Freshy. What's up?
Hey, living down in San Bernardino's and mountain biking out in the wild, you see all kinds of things, you know, rattlesnakes and bobcats and mountain lions. And the big difference between a bobcat and a mountain lion,
yeah,
is I was coming down a trail and nearly ran over a bobcat, and it had a cute little fuzzy tail and big feet. But another time out in the hills, mountain lions had been attacking hikers, and I happened to bonk while pushing my bike up the hill.
Yeah.
And then I was so grateful to reach the top and go downhill.
Dude, it completely...
One's cute, and the other, your food. It could so easily run off with a small child.
Yeah, just pick it up, and what are you going to do? And there's nothing you can do about it. There'd be nothing you could do.
No. You couldn't ride down the trail fast enough to... outrun a large cat.
Yeah.
By the way, F Matt with a large cat.
All right, there you go.
This F Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Well done. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to come back. We got Chris in Lake Oswego. When we get back later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is coming our way. Top five Tupac Shakur songs of all time. And Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. It's all coming up. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We have a Britney watch. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on today, we got the top five Tupac Shakur songs of all time. We're going to figure out a way. I think we're going to do... We have How Chicks Think today. And because she didn't yell or scream or make anything up or... delve into some sort of bizarre, irrational ranting yesterday. I think we'll have Corinne, who's filling in for Jolie at the front desk, help us out again today. But did we get this thing? Well, on Monday, we don't know who's going to do it Monday. And we wanted to pick a woman from the audience, but I'm not really sure how to do it. I'm not really sure what device we would use to pick whoever is going to be the one to do it. So we're going to talk about that later on. Jim Roop is coming up this hour, as well as a Britney watch. Let's get Chris in Lake Oswego. You're on Hot Talk tonight, KOTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick. I just had a couple stories for you.
Yes.
When I was a pretty young kid, I was growing up in Arizona, and I turned over a rock that had a rattlesnake underneath it. It scared the hell out of me.
Right on.
I think I killed it when I dropped the rock back down on it.
Well, Matt and I were just talking about this. That's the sort of thing that you can get away with when you're a kid because you've got some weird force field around you. But it's like if today, as a grown man, you picked up a rock and there was a rattlesnake, it'd just kill you right there because you don't have that little kid force field, yeah.
But I was going up to Mount Bachelor, and I saw these people off the side of the road, and I wondered what the hell they were doing, and I took a closer look. And they were walking with their hands stretched out, going, here, kitty, kitty, towards a bobcat alongside of the road. That's a good way to lose a hand.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's probably not going to kill you, but it's going to make your day go pretty poorly. That's the thing. Yeah, you're going to regret that. You're not going to be able to wear mittens for a while. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, speaking of cats, how about the little ones? Some resident of Portland's Mount Tabor neighborhood up in arms after learning one of their bird-loving neighbors has been trapping cats who wander in the yard and then taking to the county animal shelter, where one of them was euthanized. Now, this is nothing illegal, by the way. The person doing this says he's trying to protect the unique birds that come into his yard. He's retired Portland police officer Mark McCabe. Understandably, his neighbors are fit to be tied, so some have been calling what they think is Mike McCabe's answering machine. The problem is, it's not. His number's unlisted, so they're getting an innocent McCabe residence. This tape message comes to us courtesy of Fox 12 Oregon.
You're a mean man, Mr. McCabe. Those poor animals are defenseless. That's people like you that will rot in hell. Have a good day.
The only problem is, it's a wrong McCabe.
This is just some dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand, but he's stealing his neighbor's cats and having to put to sleep?
Well, what he's doing is he's taking them to the animal shelter. He's catching them in
But isn't that theft,
cats.
Though?
No, apparently there's nothing illegal about it. Because the cats are wandering into your yard.
Okay, but I don't know. But what if I live next to you and your dog wandered into my yard? I can't just take it, though, can I?
You'd be in a lot of trouble if you did.
I wouldn't do that because it's wrong. But I'm saying,
you can take it to the animal shelter, but they have rules of how long they keep animals.
Ah, and so
then
if the owners don't go to the shelter to look for it, then they get put to sleep. See, can I just tell you though? This is proof of the difference between dogs and cats. Is that you can tell that by definition, this means the owners weren't going to the shelter to look. If your dog vanished, you couldn't find your dog for several days, you'd probably go to the shelter and say, has anybody turned in a dog? Cat vanishes, no one cares. That's the bottom line. Cats vanish, no one cares. Not even the owners care, because the cat ended up being marooned there long enough that it got euthanized. Your dog is gone for more than a day or two, you start calling around looking for everything.
You don't even wait that long.
Yeah.
Dog owners are all posting things on telephone poles like an hour later.
Yeah, I mean, you're driving through the neighborhood, you're checking the shelter.
You ever see a cat poster?
Cat vanishes, no one cares. No one anywhere. Why? No shortage of cats. All right. We're going to get to Steve here later on. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right, sir. How are you?
Okay, you don't know any cats, do you?
Cats?
Yeah.
I don't like cats.
All right, good for you. I didn't know that I was going to be able to trust you anymore if you owned cats.
No.
Cats are not there's no reason a man should own cats.
No.
They're not here's why a man can own cats. A man can own a cat if it belonged to a family member who was killed in a hideous train accident and he then had to take care of the cat. If your mom's cat, she dies, you have to take care of the cat. Or if the cat just comes with the girl. That's the only other reason. If you've got the girl and she just comes with a cat, you know, there's no way you can get out of it then.
Yeah. I'm a dog guy.
Good for you. Do you have a dog?
Yeah, we have a dog.
What kind is it?
It's a little crappy dog.
Well, see, that's the best kind there is.
Yeah, it spends its whole life waiting for me to come home.
Yeah, this is the great thing about dogs, is their entire life revolves around you.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I would never have a cat. I don't want a cat. I don't want any animal that doesn't recognize me as the sun around which it rotates.
That's right.
I mean, I want an animal that recognizes me as master. That's
there
what
you
I
go.
Want. So that's that. Which is, by the way, this is why guys get dogs, because guys get dogs to fulfill all the things that they want their girlfriends to do, but they won't. Because you want your girlfriend to sit at home and just, you know, her whole life should revolve around you. You should be the sun around which, you know, she revolves. But no, you know, they always insist on having free thoughts, independent will. So you get a dog. Dog, do anything you tell it to. Waits for you to come home. Doesn't complain when you're out late with your friends.
That's right.
They also use the dog to pick up on chicks at the dog parks. People used to do that in L.A.
That is totally true, too. You're out walking a dog. You can meet girls walking a dog. It's kind of like one of those...
They all want to know the dog's name.
It's like one of those zany romantic comedies where Hugh Grant gets a baby so he can meet chicks.
That's true.
The dog does the same thing, and it doesn't spit up on you.
There you go.
A puppy works better than the dog,
Totally a puppy. Absolutely. A puppy works completely well. Hey, is it... Is there anything down there that they haven't named for Bob Hope yet? Because apparently they just named a Burbank post office for Bob Hope.
Yeah, it was a post office the other day. The airport's going to be renamed Bob Hope Airport. So, I mean, there's Bob Hope Park. There's Bob Hope Drive by NBC. There's a Bob Hope plaque at, you know, the Veterans Park now.
You know, this is one of those things where in the future, though, like an alien civilization is going to come here and they're going to exhume the wreckage of our cities. And they're going to... You know, they're gonna come to the opinion that Bob Hope was some sort of deity or god whom we worshipped, which is pretty close to the truth, I guess.
Yes, for right, it seems that way now, doesn't it? I'm surprised they don't rename Burbank Bob Hope.
Why is there nothing named for John Ritter? Where's the justice?
You know, there may be at some point.
All right, they just named a street in New York after Joey Ramone.
I think there's a sandwich after John Ritter.
Is there?
I think there's a sandwich. I think so.
All right, there you go.
I think there really is at some deli down here.
All right. Hey, you're going to be at the Schwarzenegger thing on Monday.
Yes, I am, sir.
So is that, what is it? It's Monday night? Where's that at?
It's at on the Capitol steps in Sacramento.
Well, that doesn't sound very exciting. I thought it was going to be like a full-on shindig.
No, he's not doing that. It's going to be 11 o'clock in the morning out in the elements on the Capitol steps, and it's going to be very low-key. But how low-key can 8,000 guests and 500 journalists be?
Well, especially when they're there covering Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
You know, so... All right, so you're going to be there. So there's no, like, as not even an after party.
No, he said no because the state's in such bad financial crisis. He doesn't want to start spending any money. But you know, what's wrong with spending your own money for a party?
Well, that's what I'm. Yeah, it's not like he's really pinching pennies at
that
point.
Yeah, you know, he's not writing a check from the state treasury. He's spending his own money. He's got more money than God. Hey, he should be able to write have a party.
Is it true that Schwarzenegger hired the private eye that found all
into his sexual allegations?
The groping things. So he's hired the guy who discovered the groping stuff. I guess that's a pretty. I guess if you can't beat him, buy him.
Exactly it, man. So
I mean,
who's going to really question the results or the findings or whatever this detective comes up with, though? You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's that old maxim about to keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Oh, yes, that's right. So, and the old Godfather line.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Hunter Thompson once said that politics is the art of controlling your environment. And I guess taking the guy who's digging up dirt and employing him on your staff is about the best application of that I have ever seen.
At least you have more control of the dirt and how much is actually dug up or released.
Seriously?
You know?
Hey, do you know much about this... story, it's been all over Drudge and some of the gossip with the Hollywood rags down there about this this private eye that's being investigated. Steve, I want to say Pellegrino.
Yeah, that's the guy.
He was some PI to the stars, right? He was some PI that the stars hired to dig up dirt on other stars. What is the deal with that guy?
You know, I don't know. This has been going on for quite a while now, and I guess something else happened not too long ago where his name is back in the. Back in the spotlight, but I have no idea for what.
Okay. So we can just make up our own story then.
We could.
All right, excellent.
But I saw his name the other day, and I went, oh, here's this guy again.
All right.
And I think it's the same story just being brought up again.
Okay, well, so we'll talk to you, I guess, on Monday. We'll find out how the canape or whatever was at the Schwarzenegger
thing. The Schwarzenegger thing, yeah. By the time I call you, same time on Monday? Is that how it's working out?
I don't know. Well, how long do you expect the thing to run?
It'll be over probably by the time I call you.
Yeah.
It's supposed to kick off at 11. It should be done by noon, but, you know, Lord knows. I call you from the middle of it, for heaven's sake.
Do that. See if you can call. Be like one of those guys at the Bon Jovi concert waving his cell phone up so his buddy at home can hear, you know, lay your hands on me.
Have my sign, John 316. I'll have that up.
Excellent. There you go. There's a CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Well done. All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
Time for the Battle Watch.
Here's your Battle Watch for whatever this is.
Friday
on the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, we completely forgot to get Steve in Portland. Oh, we'll get him in a second.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
The president has welcomed the head of the Italian government to lunch at the White House.
I want to thank you for your strong leadership in standing up to the terrorists who are trying to create fear and chaos.
E la voglio ringraziare per la sua forte leadership e per aver tenuto duro contro i terroristi che seminano paura nel mondo.
Pass the SpaghettiOs. Saudi prince vows to fight extremists who want to set up a Taliban-like government in his country.
They will not succeed. If the intention of the terrorists, much less, is to
destroy the Saudi state, they will not succeed. We will fight them with everything we have until we crush them. King Fahd has vowed to strike with an iron fist.
What the hell?
Has declared total war on them. And our Minister of Interior recently said that the only language we will use to communicate with them is the language of the rifle and the sword.
Using the word iron.
Jesus God, that's a scary sounding guy.
That's I wouldn't want to mess with him.
No, that's yeah. What kind of accent is that anyway, though?
It's Arabian.
Really? It doesn't. It almost sounds neutral. It almost sounds like it doesn't have an accent.
Well,
at all.
I'm sure he's been like educated at Harvard.
Yeah, probably like educated here. Isn't that the deal? All the dictators come and they're educated here, and then they go back home and.
Enlighten their people.
They go back home and behead homosexuals, you know, with the having attained power with the education they achieved here, like Yale or something.
Yeah.
Jesus. What was that? We will crush them with the rifle
of,
and the rifle, the language of the rifle and the sword. Yeah. That should be our motto here. Can we just get that printed up, put on a plaque or something? We'll just put it here in the studio.
How about putting that on your splash page?
Yeah, sure. I gladly feast on those who would consume me. Yeah.
The next time we have, like, a big corporate meeting about... What do you call that? Slogans or...
Mission statement.
Mission statement.
That should be the intercom mission statement. It's, you know, we will speak in the language of the rifle and the sword. We will crush you with an iron boot, grind your bones into dust, and sleep on a bed of severed heads.
Meanwhile, a battle on Capitol Hill to block the president's judicial nominees continues as Democrats conclude 40 hours of debate. The Republicans didn't win. Ted Kennedy leads the charge to block what he calls extreme right-wing judicial nominees.
But what has not ended is the resolution and the determination of the members of the United States Senate to continue to resist any Neanderthal that is nominated by this President of the United States for any court, federal court in the United States.
Republican Bill Frist says there's no reason to call them Neanderthals.
Number one, it's very rude. If you don't like them, vote against them, but you don't have to insult them. They've gone through enough. He calls them Neanderthal. Senator Clinton called them lemons. That's the Senate in 2003.
Thank goodness it's that way. Then, closer to home, we have a bank robber who was sent up the river, not just robbing a bank, but after finding Fritz Springmeier's private arsenal of automatic weapons, right-wing literature, and plans for possible evil deeds at the federal building and K2. An FBI undercover agent explains.
For religious wackos that were armed to the teeth, and they had the means to do most anything they wanted.
He got his order from a higher power.
They were running a paramilitary operation, and they take the order from God.
And he met Forrest Bateman, his partner in crime, while studying the good book.
Fritz was invited to come to a Bible study over at their house.
Okay. That's that.
There you go. Is that our battle watch?
I've got a couple of more quick things here. More than 3,000 National Guard members report to mortar armories across Washington. This is the biggest deployment of them since World War II. Then, a National Guard soldier based in Illinois who blasted the president on a local talk show may face court-martial for her public comments. On the air Wednesday, let's see, apparently the soldier said ultra-conservatives are really ruining things. And, she called the president a liar. So that's today's Battle Watch.
All right, there's your Battle Watch for Friday in the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this, stay there. It's Hot Talk tonight at KFGK.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. Now we have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-737-5955. It's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And birthdays tomorrow, Judge Wapner's going to be 84. Frida of Abba is going to be 58.
Judge Wapner, the only interesting story I can tell about Judge Wapner is that I once talked to Doug Llewellyn's ex-wife. That's it. There you go.
Wow. Do you ever think what Doug Llewellyn and his wife do?
No, I really don't. Because there was Doug Llewellyn, there was Judge Wapner. The kids today, they don't know. There was Judge Wapner, Doug Llewellyn, and then there was Rusty the bailiff. I don't know Rusty the bailiff. I think Rusty's dead.
He's dead.
I think Rusty died a couple years ago, but Wapner lives on.
Anyway, here's a Rick Emerson Show community advisory. Lost logs are heading for the Oregon coast. Sometime a couple nights ago, roughly 2,000 logs fell off a barge 100 miles southwest of Tillamook. Now, these logs are wrapped in bundles of five and they weigh several tons.
Yeah.
Please avoid swimming in the ocean this weekend. Unless you want to get clunked in the head by one.
Yeah, those things, no, those, they have to, and that's like serious business. Those things will kill you dead. Especially because if you're walking, I mean, you know, every year there's some hideous story about a little, some kid walking by the beach and those logs just come out of nowhere and they will just flatten your ass. They will just kill you dead. So, yeah.
Stay home.
Look out for those.
Yeah. A Greek television station has been fined more than $100,000 for broadcasting a show that features scenes of two men kissing. The agency that regulates Greek TV said the late night program Close Your Eyes could, quote, damage young people by making them too familiar with vulgarity. This from a country that sent millions of nude statues of people to museums around the world.
Well, didn't the Greeks kind of invent that?
Yeah.
Didn't the Greeks were all about the man.
And the Romans.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like what they're known for, isn't that? It's that and pita bread. That's all it is, man. It's pita bread and gay love.
Yes, romantic love between men was a common theme of classical Greek art and literature. However, nowadays, because it progressed, a public discussion of homosexuality is rare in modern-day Greece. And you can be fined.
Right. Maybe Bush can go be the leader of that country next.
I'll put some curtains up around these statues so people don't have to look at them.
You just have Ed Meese go over and run it, yeah.
Let's see here. What else do we have? Beyonce Knowles may look bootylicious to her legions of fans, but don't let her hear any of them describe her as such. Although she shares responsibility in creating the adjective, the Destiny's Child singer turned solo star tells People magazine she's grown to despise it. Speaking outside of the London premiere of her most recent film, The Fighting Temptations, Knowles says, I hate that word at times. Although Destiny's Child's song is of the same name with a bona fide group, this sentence makes no sense at all. Anyway, she's happy at 21 years old. She has a word that she can write in a dictionary.
Bootylicious. Yes, your grandmother must be proud. No, it's like saying ass-tastic or something.
Responding to an upcoming conference defending slavery, this from Idaho, the president of the University of Idaho today reaffirmed the school's commitment to diversity in opposition to bigotry.
Sure.
Yes, there has been escalating criticism from students and faculty over a private event on campus in which slavery was portrayed as a positive experience for blacks in the South.
Can I just have that there?
Sure.
All right, next time somebody starts saying, I get this, I'll criticize Idaho and people tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. So I'm just going to read the sentence again. Responding to an upcoming conference defending slavery, the University of Idaho, there you go, that's it. That's all I'm going to read in the story, because that's all you need to know, man. It's like, that's it. That's what Idaho is. That is, it's an entire state filled with people like that. So just you know, be advised. Oh, I guess we're done. All right, that hour just, man, I just blinked and that hour was gone. What the hell? All right. All right, coming up, we got a Britney watch. We got today's top five Tupac Shakur songs.
Three stories from Germany.
Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, How Chicks Think. It's all coming up. Taking a look at TV tonight. It's all ahead. Stay there. Sir Rick Emerson Show and Hot Talk, the 980KOTK. Here he is, the hardest working man in show business. We'll be back.
Portland. It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm T. Riley. This news brought to you by Oregon Hot Springs. A wafer company plans to close its two Salem plants by the end of the year, eliminating 620 jobs. The Sumitomo Mitsubishi Silicon Group will ship production of silicon wafers to other plants in Asia and the United States. About 15,000 starlings in Bend have been killed and poisoned in an effort to reduce what many consider to be a nuisance species. Starlings are not protected by any bird act and have no special protection at all. If you need the copy of a birth or death certificate, you better get ready to shell out a little more cash at the end of the month. The prices go up from $15 to $20. And about 1,000 Quest phone customers in Federal Way, Washington have been without service since Wednesday after a cable company cut a phone line. That's right, since Wednesday, Quest has been lending out cell phones. They know those will work. For the metro forecast for this afternoon, we do have a chance of rain, save for tonight, tomorrow, possibly Sunday. Tim Bradley, KOTK News.